Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us, hopefully, very soon on the line, Christopher Bryson. We're going to be talking about his book, The Fluoride Deception. Now, it's very difficult for people to realize that they poisoned their children, for that many of them will have problems all of their lives, just as it was very difficult for women to believe that when they were, before they gave birth to their children many years ago, we used to give women large doses of estrogen. Well, that was to keep them from having a miscarriage. And many of those children, when they grew up, they got a severe fulminating cancer of the vulva. They had to completely excise it, and their children got it, and their children got it, all going to the fact that we gave estrogen, massive doses of estrogen to women, and it was terribly harmful. And, of course, their children and their grandchildren will never be normal because of what we've done. Now, there are many, many things that have been done in the name of the public health. That have been terribly, terribly harmful. And we could talk about many of them, but right now we're going to be talking about Christopher Bryson and his book, The Fluoride Deception, because whether you know it or not, one of the greatest scams of all time is being perpetrated on the American people right now, and that is the fluoridation of water. And if you care about your children, you better find out if Mr. Bryson is telling the truth. I know he's telling the truth because I've got the scientific studies, and if you don't have them, you better get them, and you better give serious consideration to getting this book, which we are going to carry. It's the best book I've read on this subject. Mr. Bryson, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for your compliment about the book.
Well, why don't you tell us, you're really a professional writer, aren't you?
I'm a journalist. I'm a reporter. I'm trained at the Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism, and worked for almost 20 years as a professional reporter for media such as the British Broadcasting Corporation and ABC News and NBC News, a whole host of such organizations.
Well, when you first heard that there was something wrong with fluoride, didn't you think these people were pretty kooky?
I didn't know fluoride from a hole in the wall, and I very quickly learned that the fluoridation issue, fluoride, had a stigma attached to it. And but almost from the outset, I was baffled by that, because the scientists and health professionals who I interviewed as I reported the story seemed eminently sane, rational, personable people of conscience and good character. So I don't really didn't understand that, and to this day I see it really as a media smear rather than something substantive.
Well, I never forget when I first heard this, I thought this was the most absurd thing in the world, because I'm a physician. I practiced medicine for many years. I was a traditional mainline physician, and after all, everybody knew that fluoride helped children's teeth and cut down on cavities. And so what did you find as you began looking into this? Is that really true? Is this really beneficial? Could it possibly?
I guess how I got into this was very early on. I read an article which influenced me, which laid out the fluoride issue less in terms of the dental story and much more as an industrial and an environmental story. It was an article I was working for the BBC in 1993 and was asked to find out about fluoride in the United States on behalf of some British producers. There was a local fluoridation battle going on, and in the course of doing that research, I read an article in a publication called Covert Action Information Bulletin.
Hold that thought right there. All right, well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Mr. Christopher Bryson, who is an investigative journalist, has worked for BBC, and he's written a wonderful book. It's called The Fluoride Deception, and it's the story of how we're poisoning our children with fluoride. Now, of course, no parent would want to poison their child, and certainly I don't believe any dentists or doctors, or at least very, very few, would ever want to do anything that was harmful to people. And yet, as you realize the background of this incredible story, we are in effect poisoning our children and creating mental problems and cancers and all sorts of things. And I'm going to let Mr. Bryson tell you most of this story, because he's done a magnificent job of summarizing it in a book called The Fluoride Deception, which I think we're going to carry here because it's the best book I've read on this. So you pick up the story there, Mr. Bryson.
Sure, yeah. You know, I read in 1993, when I was first asked to do some reporting on the story for the BBC, an article which spelled out how important fluoride was as an industrial raw material. There's a big warning on the toothpaste tube which says that if you swallow more than a pea-sized amount, contact a poison control center immediately. Pretty startling warning for toothpaste. And the reason that's there is because fluoride is a very potent chemical. And that's why it's used in industry. It does a lot of the heavy lifting in heavy industry, whether it's aluminum or steel or making high-octane gasoline, enriching uranium for nuclear weapons. Fluoride plays a very leading role in industry, and as a consequence, it's a big pollution issue. It comes out of smokestacks, it goes into rivers, and so that's how I got in. That's what I began to understand, was that this was, in addition to being a dental story, that was really the side story. The much bigger issue was how this, really, what my book, The Fluoride Deception, does is dig into the secret story of fluoride and how industry and vested financial interests have manipulated the very basic arguments and dialogue over science and public health. And they have won. And that's why today doctors and dentists are fed a story in dental school, which they in good faith believe to be true. And yet, my book is addressed both to regular citizens, but also to health professionals. Because at this stage, what I see is that dentists and doctors have been manipulated for a very long time because vested interests have controlled the scientific debate. Now, those are broad statements, and my book, The Fluoride Deception, goes into it in very great detail, showing how the very first suggestion that we add fluoride to water supplies was made by a researcher who had worked for the Aluminum Company of America.
Well, just hold that thought for just a moment. We have to bring our stations all back on board right now. Well, our guest this afternoon is Mr. Christopher Bryson, and he's saying that the man who is responsible for coming up with the suggestion that we get rid of this toxic waste from the flumes of plants that make fertilizer and aluminum was a gentleman who said who worked for the fertilizer industry, didn't he?
He worked for the aluminum. He had been a researcher for the Aluminum Company of America, and he worked at a very famous institutes in Pittsburgh, the Mellon Institute of Industrial Research. Now, public health professionals, if they know their stuff, will know the Mellon Institute by reputation. It laundered the image of asbestos for a very long time. And what my book, The Fluoride Deception, does is it places fluoride alongside some of the villains who we had been lied to about for a very long time. The same people that lied to us about asbestos, the Mellon Institute, lied about fluoride. The same people that lied to us about adding lead to gasoline, the Kettering Laboratory at the University of Cincinnati. The same people who lied to us about tobacco, the man who helped promote the idea of smoking among women was a public relations Machiavellian genius by the name of Edward Bernays. He was Sigmund Freud's nephew, and in 1916, he had women march in the Easter parade in New York City. He had suffragettes march in the Easter parade holding cigarettes as torches of liberty. He was secretly working for the American Tobacco Company. My book, The Fluoride Deception, uncovers documents showing that Edward L. Bernays, the same pusher of tobacco, was working with the National Institute of Dental Research, helping engineer consent. Those are his words. engineer consent for public water fluoridation.
In fact, I have a book by Bernay entitled Propaganda. That's the title of it. He was a master propagandist.
He was a master. That's exactly right. He, and he understood that selling fluoride was child's play, and that if you can get some doctors to say that fluoride is good for you, then people have a trust in figures of authority, in particular benign figures of authority such as their doctors or the dentists. If Bernays could get doctors and dentists to sign off on fluoride safety in low doses, then people are going to believe them. And this is why this book is addressed at doctors and dentists, because they have been manipulated by some of the best minds, such as Bernays, into, in effect, in a position today where they're shilling for industry.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Phyllis Molyneux, because you began your story with Phyllis, and actually I've interviewed her. In fact, I have a four-tape set on fluoride where we tell her story, but I want you to tell our listeners the story of Phyllis Molyneux. This woman, she was just a scientist, a professor back at Harvard University, and of course she was asked to evaluate the neurotoxicity of fluoride by the fluoride industry.
Yeah, my book, The Fluoride Deception, begins with Phyllis Molyneux's story. You know, what I've just done is relay how, the history of fluoride has been manipulated since in the 1930s through the 50s through the 60s. Well, my book begins with Phyllis Molyneux in the 1990s, and nothing has changed. You know, Phyllis Molyneux was a conservative, industry-funded, leading neurotoxicologist at a Harvard-related institute in Boston, the Forsyth Dental Center. It doesn't come more blue blood and prestigious than that. Her system for studying low-level neurotoxicity of chemicals, how chemicals affect the brain, had been paid for by industry. She was an industry favorite, and she was asked by the Forsyth Dental Center to study the toxicity, the neurotoxicity of fluoride. And she thought, fluoride, what a waste of time. Fluoride given to children, how can that possibly be neurotoxic? She understood that the Harvard rule is publish or perish. What that means is if you're not a scientist with your name in the medical papers, then you're going to get nowhere fast. But she was an employee, and she did what she was told, and she gave these laboratory rats very modest doses of fluoride. We drink fluoride at an optimal, so-called optimal level of one part per million. That's what the Public Health Service says water should be fluoridated at. In fact, because we get fluoride from so many different sources, whether it's food that's been processed with fluoridated water, or fluorinated pharmaceuticals, or fluoride in air pollution in factories where we work, or from toothpaste and dentifrices, very quickly, even the National Research Council admits that fluoride, many people drink fluoride at levels, consume fluoride at 5 parts per million. That's the equivalent of what she gave those rats. And she found that those rats had symptoms resembling attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder. And, she said, that can't be right. And her bosses says, that can't be right. Do it again. She did it again. Do it again. She did it again. And again, you know, the data was what the data was. And she said, this has to be published. And she published her data, and she was fired for publishing her data. You know, how can that be true? You know, attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder is at epidemic proportion amongst the nation's children. Somebody should care that a leading researcher found that fluoride produces symptoms resembling attention deficit disorder. That ought to have set off alarm bells throughout the Public Health Service, who have been endorsing this for 50 years. You know, just the precautionary principle of do no harm requires you to continually... If the theory were true 50 years ago, you need to incorporate new data. But hubris, pride, egos, scientific careers, and hidden agendas have shackled us for a very long time. And that's what you see. What happened 50 years ago is happening today. Phyllis Molyneux was once the leading neurotoxicologist in an industry-funded laboratory. Today, she's the leading expert in this country, testifying at court trials where workers and citizens have been alleged to have been poisoned by fluoride. So that's Phyllis's story. You know, ask the Public Health Service, have they done any studies to see whether fluoride at one part per million produces attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder symptoms? Have they? The answer is no. That's what my book, The Fluoride Deception, begins with Phyllis's story, because it's a contemporary story and it's a tragedy, and it illustrates what has happened again and again.
And of course, they fed the fluoridated water to pregnant rats, and then of course the children came out with the attention deficit disorder, and then they gave it to after the rats had been born and were being weaned, and didn't they develop all sorts of cognitive deficiencies as well?
That's right. I always forget which was which, but prenatal and postnatal had different effects. One was mental retardation, and the other effect was hyperactivity.
Well, since I just read your book, why it was intrauterine was hyperactivity, and postnatal was the cognitive defects, and this was really all worked out by computers. So it wasn't simply a subjective idea. The computer was able to analyze this, wasn't it?
Well, here's what was going on: is that industry funded Phyllis Mull. Her system was called the Computer Pattern Recognition System, and it was breakthrough technology. It was cutting edge, and industry funded it because they wanted a legal defense in court when people came and alleged that they'd been poisoned by chemicals in the workplace or in the environment. They wanted a scientific test that could say, well, look, this is what happens when you're exposed at XYZ level, an objective, data-driven standard, not the subjective opinion of a paid-for expert witness. Industry wanted this system, they thought, because of its objective accuracy. And then, you know, Phyllis finds out that, you know, of a very common, you know, chemical used in industry and, of course, in the home, has these central nervous system effects at low doses, and suddenly they didn't want to hear that at all. But basically what the system did was the rats are given fluoridated water, and then cameras record the behavior of the animals, the patterned behavior, and then the computers would analyze those pictures and determine how their patterned behavior had been altered or upset by the addition of the chemical, whatever it was. And so it was a very precise, sophisticated, objective measurement of central nervous system upset that she had, and that's what she found. She found that fluoride produced just those upsets.
And of course, wasn't she more or less driven out of academic medicine because she told the truth?
She was exactly right. You know, she said to me, you know, that she loved working in laboratories and really enjoyed the laboratory work. I mean, she was on the fast track. Her work had been funded by EPA. She'd been to Johns Hopkins. She came out of the University of Kansas Toxicology Laboratory. She was a student of Stata Norton, one of the first female neurotoxicologists in the country. And then she found herself at Harvard lecturing in the psychiatry department there. So, and as I say, she was a consultant for the American Petroleum Institute. Her seminars were paid for by people like DuPont. She was flown around the country by Boise Cascade. You know, her computers, as I said, were paid for by digital equipment. She was an industry favorite, but she touched the third rail of health research, which is fluoride research. Touch that, and all bets are off. And that's why a lot of people, you know, there's a couple of things going on. A lot of reporters and health professionals don't find out for themselves. They rely on the stigmatized notion of people who are critical of fluoride is akin to being critical of, you know, the United Nations, or, you know, it's beyond the pale.
They probably believe in black helicopters and
that's right, you know, the UN are stealing your lawn furniture.
One of the things I do want to touch on when we get back, and that is of course the relationship between fluoride and fertility. Have you gone into that at all?
Actually, I don't know about that.
All right, fine. Well, what about cancer?
I can tell you a little bit about that.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment then with our special guest, Chris Bryson, and we'll be talking about the relationship between fluoride and osteogenic and other sarcomas. Fascinating material, so much here that you need to have. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaur's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaur's book, Ear to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
This is Health Journal.
And this is Dr. Stan, and remember, we do carry the Miracle 2 soap products. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our special guest is Chris Bryson. We're talking about the fluoride deception, and we were going to talk then a little bit about the relationship to cancer. Is there any relationship to cancer? Has anybody been shown?
Or is there even... Let me just make clear that I'm a journalist, a reporter. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. And so, what my book, The Fluoride Deception, does is I've gone into, several formerly classified and formerly secret archives, whether they're the files of the Manhattan Project, which built the world's first atomic bomb and had a profound interest in fluoride, or the files of a group called the Fluorine Lawyers Committee, which I unearthed at the University of Cincinnati. That's primarily what my book does, is looks at the secret history. Your question is about cancer, and one of the earliest one of the safety studies that is always cited by fluoride promoters was one of the earliest looks at fluoride safety, and that was the 1950, it began in 1945. It was called the Newburgh Kingston Fluorine Caries Demonstration Project, and basically what they did was they added fluoride. It was the second place in the country that had artificial fluoride added to its water, Newburgh, New York, community just up the Hudson, and they compared the health of the people in Newburgh with the health of the people in neighboring Kingston, where there was no fluoride in the water. Well, my book, The Fluoride Deception, went into the secret files of the Manhattan Project. How are those two things related? Well, let me tell you how. The leading scientific promoter of water fluoridation for most of the second half of the 20th century, throughout the Cold War, was a physician by the name of a toxicologist by the name of Dr. Harold Carpenter Hodge. And he was the person that stood before Congress in 1954 and assured Congress that water fluoridation was safe and effective. He was the public face of water fluoridation and a very respected establishment character, head of the Committee of Toxicology of the National Research Council, and so on and so forth. Harold Hodge had a very secret past, a very secret background. He was also the leading toxicologist for the Manhattan Project. And we now know that the same person who sold us fluoride was also a leading orchestrator of the medical experiments in which plutonium and uranium were injected in hospital patients in places like the University of Rochester and at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, of course, without their knowledge or consent. Harold Hodge did both of those things, promoted fluoride, studied fluoride, and injected people with plutonium and uranium, because his job as the leading toxicologist of the Manhattan Project was to study the chemicals being used to make the bomb. And fluoride was one of the key chemicals. Millions of pounds of fluoride were required in the big factories down at Oak Ridge, Tennessee, the fluoride gaseous diffusion plant, the big at one point it was the biggest industrial building in the world. So the Manhattan Project were scared about lawsuits from workers who were inhaling fluoride in these plants, and they were being sued by farmers living adjacent to the bomb factories. Harold Hodge was given explicit instructions, and my book, The Fluoride Deception, prints those documents in which he is charged with finding evidence that would help the government in court cases where fluoride pollution was being charged. So simultaneously, Harold Hodge is in charge of the Newburgh Fluorine Caries Demonstration Project. He's the top dog there. He helps design the studies. And it's at his University of Rochester, AEC, U.S. Army laboratory, where much of the studies are done and the information is processed. My point being, also, I'm going to get to your cancer question, because this speaks to that. My point ultimately is that Harold Hodge, as the leading figure assuring the nation that fluoridation was safe, was the last person on planet Earth that we ought to have trusted on fluoride safety, because there was no chance he was going to say low-dose fluoride was dangerous. If he said low-dose fluoride was dangerous, then that put a dagger through the heart of the U.S. strategic power, which was premised on the monopoly at first and then the building of very large amounts of nuclear weapons using fluoride. So anyway, the reverse of that is that the assurances that fluoride was safe in low dose and was given to children provided a marvelous immunity, not from dental caries, but from lawsuits. It was then and is today very difficult to find experts, witnesses in court, Phyllis Mullenix being one of the exceptions, who will testify that low-dose fluoride is problematic, is dangerous to health. My book, The Fluoride Deception, goes into a court case.
Hold that thought for just a minute here. We've got to take another quick break.
Sure.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to mention that we do carry the Berkey filters, and of course, if you don't have a Berkey filter, you surely should have one. They're wonderful in case of emergency, but if you just like to improve the taste of the water, make sure there's no herbicides or pesticides or contamination in your water, why, this is a wonderful thing to have. The Big Berkey has been used, a pattern designed for 150 years by missionaries throughout the world. It's made of stainless steel. You put 2.5 gallons or 2 gallons in the top. It goes just by force of gravity through the ceramic filters packed with activated charcoal. Comes out through the bottom, and it's a great water. Certainly the Big Berkey is $279. It's available in every state but California and Iowa. We do have, however, something that's available here. It's called the Berkey Light. Just about the same size. It's made out of Lexan, so you can see the water level. And we like that. That's why we got the Berkey Light. The filters are entirely different. They're really water purifiers. They do a superior job taking out the herbicides and pesticides. They also take out TBE and lead, as I remember. And, of course, they do not take out either fluoride or fluoride or arsenic. You have to get that by getting some special filters to put on the bottom. The Berkey Light, $199 plus shipping. Both of them you have to charge the shipping, but if you buy them through us, you get a 4-tape set or a video we produced. You really need to have one of these things on hand, because you can use pool water or pond water or lake water or river water. A good thing to have on hand in case of emergency to take camping with you. The Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, both available by calling 1-800-544-8927 or see them up on our website at RadioLiberty.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're talking about Christopher Bryson's excellent book, The Fluoride Deception, which really goes into the background of all the politics that were involved. And here we find that the man who is supervising the Newberg study in New York has a vested interest in the outcome of that. So what did you actually discover? Were the people living there, were the fluoridated water healthier than the adjacent communities?
You know, you'd ask me about cancer, and the reason I went into that backstory. You know, these are old documents, and this is old history, but it's a public health threat today. In the 1950s, when this Newberg study was going on, they found evidence that fluoride was potentially linked with bone cancer, but that study, that information was not published in the Newberg final report, and Congress did not require that fluoride be cancer tested for another two decades. And you know, when those studies were finally done, the chief toxicologist of the Office of Water at the EPA, toxicologist by the name of Dr. William Marcus, took a look at the data. That the cancer data that the National Toxicology Program had done, the cancer studies that they had done at a congressional request, finally. And he said, look, the final verdict of the NTP was that fluoride was an equivocal cancer risk. Now, to me, equivocal means maybe fluoride causes cancer, maybe it doesn't. Now, that's shocking to me, that we're adding something to water where it may cause cancer? I'm sorry. You know, that doesn't sound right to me right there. But what William Marcus, this government employee of the Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Water, the leading toxicologist there, he looked at that data and said, in fact, the data was much stronger than that equivocal rating. He said that the actual rat cancer studies that the NTP had done showed very strong evidence for both liver and bone cancer. And he said that the data had been gerrymandered, had been fixed, had been laundered to give even that equivocal rating of carcinogenicity. Now, so William Marcus, like Phyllis Mullenix, was fired. And he sued, and a federal judge ruled that Dr. William Marcus of the EPA had been fired because of his dissent over fluoride. Now, these are not lunatics. These are not quacks. These are principled, leading scientists in the government employ.
Aren't there a number of scientists there at the EPA who are very upset about the fluoridation of water, and yet they can't get their information out?
Well, that's how I got into this story. You know, when I was asked to do a fluoride report for the British Broadcasting Corporation, I didn't know fluoride very well at all. I didn't know anything about it. And, you know, I made a few phone calls and was put in touch with a couple of scientists. One of them was Dr. Bill Hersey at the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington, and the other was a former EPA scientist who at that point was then working with the United States Army. His name was Dr. Robert Carton, and I spoke with both of those guys, went down to Washington, did the interviews, and they said that the current government safety standards for fluoride were based on fraudulent science. So those are government scientists, and you know, they were just very clear-thinking, public-spirited, honest scientists. And I, you know, I went with the story from then. So once again, you know, it's a myth that, you know, look, fluoride. The movement against fluoride, the dissent against fluoride, the grassroots opposition, which sprang up almost immediately in the 1950s when the Public Health Service did its flip-flop and suddenly decided to support fluoride, you know, that grassroots opposition was filled with conservatives, filled with liberals, and filled with leading public health physicians who had a distinguished reputation safeguarding public health. We should all know and revere the name of Dr. George L. Waldbot. Dr. George Waldbot was the first physician in this country to warn of the dangers of fatal allergic reaction to penicillin. Dr. George Waldbot was one of the first physicians to warn of the dangers of smoking in the 1950s. And Waldbot found that in his practice in Detroit, Michigan, that people were coming in with these ailments, mystery ailments, back pain, gastric distress, migraine headaches, and he figured out that it was the fluoride, low-dose fluoride, that a small group of people in this country are uniquely allergic to the smallest doses of fluoride, that are such as those found in public water supplies. And then he did these double-blind scientific studies where the people were given water and he didn't know whether it had fluoride in it or not, and the symptoms returned with the fluoridated water. Now, it's a very small number of people in Dr. George Waldbot's practice, but aggregate that over a nation of 300 million people, where two-thirds of the public water supply is fluoridated, and where the public health professionals have not been taught about the dangers of fluoride intoxication and fluoride poisoning, then you have a public health scandal, where hosts of people. I was on the radio recently in Scotland. The British Broadcasting Corporation interviewed me there, and I was on with a doctor who had diagnosed herself ultimately with fluoride poisoning. She was one of those allergic individuals, but it took her a very long time to figure it out because she had never heard of fluoride poisoning and fluoride allergy. So, you know, my book, The Fluoride Deception, is directed at public health professionals and dentists who need to really do some digging for themselves. There's a wonderful website, the Fluoride Action Network, which has a tremendous amount of scientific references and data that's put out publicly available. The internet's a wonderful tool, and I think this ship may be turning because, you know, the Public Health Service and the American Dental Association don't have the lock they once had. The cat is out of the bag, And my book, The Fluoride Deception, I hope pushes that along.
I certainly hope it does as well. Now, one of the things that, of course, they're going to, on the other side, they're saying, you know, what about these poor children? We want to, do you really want children to have cavities? And then they will get up at the meetings and they'll show these pictures of these children with these horrible deformed teeth and gums, and they'll say, these children weren't fluoridated. Of course, it's really children who have, you know, suck on a bottle full of sugar water that get this appearance. But they keep saying this is what's keeping our children from having cavities, because children today, after 30 or 40 years of water fluoridation, have better dental health than they had 30 or 40 years ago. How do you answer that statement?
Well, you know, there was, you know, I made the point of, look, there was a dental researcher in New Zealand who was the leading fluoride promoter in Auckland, New Zealand. His name was Dr. John Colquhoun. He since passed away, but I interviewed him. And Dr. Colquhoun said, you know, he did what I hope dentists and doctors do themselves now, and that's look at the data, consult the literature, look at the new health information that's come out about fluoride in low doses. And he said, look, I can't advocate this anymore. You know, it's built on a lie. And then he made the statement, which I think distills it marvelously. How many fewer cavities is worth the death of one young man from osteosarcoma? You know, and I think that's what this is about. It's, you know, there's data on both sides of the fence. You know, there's the British government in 2000 did a review of fluoride literature, the York Review, and they found that at best fluoride may be responsible for 15% less cavities, but they said the quality of the science underpinning that was very poor, and four of the members of the York panel said fluoride may actually produce worse teeth. So, you know, so the data on both sides of the fence, and also the theory for how fluoride works, has changed. Even the CDC now say that the old theory that fluoride works systemically, that it gets incorporated in your body and produces cavity-reducing teeth when they come through the gum, that's now gone away. Now they say that fluoride primarily exerts any beneficial effect topically, and what that means is that through toothpaste or direct contact with the tooth, the fluoride remineralizes the tooth and kills cavity-causing bacteria. But just take that a little. So even their arguments are now different. But that, what that does is powerfully and profoundly negate the argument for adding fluoride to water supplies. If it's topically, and if you want to have fluoride, look, it's a free country. You know, eat all the fluoride you want, but don't give it to children. Don't flavor toothpaste with bubble gum and spearmint and toothpaste. That's borderline criminal. But at any rate, even if you accept that fluoride exerts a beneficial topical effect, it does so in part by fluoride is an enzyme poison, and one of the ways in which it exerts its topical effect is by killing the enzymes in cavity-causing bacteria. I'm no scientist, but what happens when you swallow the fluoride to the enzymes in your stomach or the enzymes in your blood? You know, I know enough to know that enzymes are very important parts of metabolism, and that's exactly why fluoride poisoning is very difficult to diagnose. Unlike mesothelioma, the cancer caused by asbestos, which has a distinct and signature effect, because fluoride is a systemic poison, because it attacks enzymes, it has a great array of symptoms. So it's very difficult to diagnose and difficult actually to sue for, because it doesn't have that signature effect. But anyway, so that's why you know, the argument for adding, you know, fluoride is not a pharmaceutical grade chemical. The fluoride that's dumped in our reservoirs is in fact a toxic waste stripped from the smokestacks of the Florida phosphate industry. In the 1940s and 50s, the phosphate industry in Florida was being sued by farmers and citizens living near those plants because of the fluoride that was pouring out of the phosphate industry smokestacks. Now what happens is that much of that fluoride gets trapped by these scrubbers in the smokestacks, put into neoprene-lined tankers, and trucked to a reservoir and dumped in your water supply. That's where it comes from. Very few dentists know that it's a toxic waste from the phosphate industry, hydrofluorosilicic acid that's being put in their water supply.
And, of course, the problem is that it is a toxic waste. They would have to spend a great deal of money to dispose of it because it's so toxic. But what a wonderful scam to convince people we ought to put it in the water supply. That's what's so incredible. And they actually they can't even put it in a regular metal tank because it would erode that, wouldn't it?
Well, there's an article in the Wall Street Journal about how concerned Homeland Security is about this fluoride being trucked around the country. You know, so powerfully toxic are the contents of those tankers, the hydrofluorosilicic acid tankers that are going to the reservoirs. That's very, very dangerous stuff.
And so, but they have a solution. They're going to put it in our water. Now, you say
it's
about...
It's farcical. It's laughable.
Well, you say about, what, 70% of our water is now fluoridated?
At two-thirds, is at my understanding.
About two-thirds of our water is fluoridated. And yet, of course, in Europe, where they've had an improvement in dental health, haven't they either given it up or never instituted? Don't the people in Europe have equally good, the children have equally good dental health to America, where they don't have fluoridation?
That's correct. And, you know, and really it's a class issue, you know, in this country, too. You know, even areas that have been fluoridated for a very long time, in the inner city, where there's... You know, fluoride victimizes people who have a low nutritional content to their diet. Fluoride toxicity, which you see as dental fluorosis, the white blotches on teeth, occurs more readily when people have low nutritional status. So that's why you see shocking dental standards in the inner city in this country and among poor people, and fluoridated water, rather than helping teeth, in fact, hurts those teeth. So it's a poverty issue in as well. You know, it's a myth that fluoride across the board increases dental health.
In fact, the state of New York puts out an awful lot of money for health, for dental care for these children, and yet they have their fluoridated water, but nobody ever talks about that. Well, you know, this is really a great scam. So how are we going to get the information out? And I'm hoping your book is going to at least get people to understand that there was an agenda and you had professional propagandists working on convincing the American people, the American Dental Association, the doctors of this country, that fluoride was a wonderful thing. We just had to medicate everybody in an effort to help the children's teeth, and as if somebody who was against this was against the children.
Well, that's right, you know, and, you know, the fluoride deception is the title of my book, and the final chapters of the book go to a lawsuit I attended in Arkansas at a place called Hurricane Creek, where several hundred workers were alleging that they'd been poisoned by fluoride at a site owned by Reynolds Aluminum. And what I saw there, and this summarizes the nature of the fluoride deception, this is why industry have manipulated this debate for so long. The lawyer for Reynolds Metals, Pete Johnson, I watched him stand up in front of the jury with a toothpaste tube, and he said to the jury, in effect, I'm paraphrasing, if the Public Health Service and the CDC say that fluoride is good for children, how can Reynolds Metals fluoride possibly have hurt these workers? You know, that's the deception. It's very hard to get a jury to believe that the same thing they give to their kids or drink from the water fountain in the courtroom is the same thing that's poisoned workers. So, you know, the fluoridation issue, the promotion of fluoride by the public health establishment and by your dentist and doctor has reduced the costs of doing business for very key industries in this country. You know, my book, The Fluoride Deception, uncovered the existence of a group of lawyers, corporate lawyers for Reynolds Metals, U.S. Steel, Monsanto, DuPont. They were called the Fluorine Lawyers Committee. Nobody had ever heard of them until my book, The Fluoride Deception. And the Fluorine Lawyers Committee commissioned a study at the University of Cincinnati. And the study was commissioned to, and this is their words, provide ammunition to the fluorine lawyers in court so that they could defeat worker claims for fluoride poisoning. Well, they did their study, and I showed the study to a toxicologist at the University of California at Irvine, Robert Phelan, and he said this was a state-of-the-art study. It was done in the late 1950s, early 60s, and he said what the study showed was that the fluoride-breathing beagle dogs, they'd been given fluoride to approximate the the conditions of workers in factories, those beagles, their lungs were injured and their lymph nodes were affected by the fluoride. That study was buried. Today, nobody's heard of that study. My book, The Fluoride Deception, reveals the existence of this study. He said that if the standard setters in government had seen this study, fluoride exposure standards in the workplace would have been very different.
Well, thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest has been Christopher Bryson. His book is The Fluoride Deception. It'll be available at your bookstores, but we're going to carry it. I think it's an important book. I think everybody must understand the implications of this incredible, incredible story. Mr. Bryson, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I applaud your courage for taking this on.
Well, we will try to get you on. We do several other different audiences every day, so we'll be calling your publicist and try to get you on to other programs. Thanks so much for being with us.
Great talking with you. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention that we, of course, do carry a number of wonderful tape sets that will get you in the background of the secret societies that exist in America today. One of the four tape sets is called The Secret Government. And there you'll actually hear my interview with Norman Dodd, Director of Research for the Reese Committee that was commissioned by the 83rd Congress to investigate the great tax-exempt foundations, the Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie foundations that had been financing communism and socialism. Now, why would these great tax-exempt foundations created by the great fortunes be funding communism and socialism? Well, you'll want to read this book. I'll tell you what, it changed my life when I read it. In fact, I was so impressed by the book that we've kept this in print for many years. It was written by Rennie Wormser. The publisher gave the plates to a Mr. Morrison, who eventually gave the plates to me. And we've kept this book in print, Foundations, Their Power and Influence. You need to understand why it is that people of great wealth encourage communism and socialism, and it's pretty obvious there. And you certainly would want to get our four tape set on the secret government. And here my interview with Mr. Norman Dodd, who is director of research for the Reese Committee, and he explains to you what their real objectives are, because he talked to the people who led these great organizations, these multi-billion-dollar corporations that have such a profound influence on our society, because they give large numbers of amounts of money to the environmentalists and to the groups of illegal aliens and to the subversive groups here in America, and their program is to destroy America, and they know exactly what they're doing. That the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, the four tape set, The Secret Government, and you can also get our four tape set on secret societies, or maybe you want to get the Secret Society special. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and let me mention, if you're interested in getting Christopher Bryson's book, it is $24.95, and we'll make it available through our website and through our ministry, and wait just a few minutes before you call our number, 1-800-544-8927, so that I can call our exchange and tell them about the book. But that's 1-800-544-8927. Now, you really need to understand that they are poisoning us. One of the things I asked was the influence on fertility. If you want, of course, the scientific studies financed by your government, why, we'll be glad to send it to you. It was a report done by Frenny, who found that this is a wonderful way of suppressing fertility rates. And if you fluoridate the water, you decrease fertility. If you lower the fluoride, to increase fertility. It's all about population control. And, of course, dumbing down our people, because the active ingredient in so many of the drugs that affect our mind is fluoride. And they know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know. What do you think the active ingredient in Prozac is? It's a fluoride compound. So they are putting it in our drinking water. They're putting it in your many of your soft drinks that you get. They're putting it in many of your canned foods. And you better understand that America is under attack today. We have a wonderful four-tape set on fluoride and fluoridation. We have a wonderful four-tape set on mercury, because they're poisoning us with mercury in our vaccines and the amalgam in our teeth. Find out if it's true. Could this really be true? Could these things be going on today? You need to get our four-tape set on aspartame and NutraSweet. You need to understand that this produces brain tumors. They knew it produced brain tumors. FDA opposed legalization of aspartame and allow it to be put and used as a food substance for many years, until 1980, when, of course, on the Reagan transition team was the director, the president of Searle's company, who put his man in as head of the FDA, legalized aspartame, and then quit his job and went to work for Searle. Of course, who was the president of the Searle at this time? It was a man named Donald Rumsfeld. So you need to get the information. You need to find out what's going on. Get our four-tape set on water fluoridation, just on fluoridation. Get our four-tape set on mercury. Get our four-tape set on aspartame. Get our four-tape set on why do we still have cancer. And, of course, you need to have this information for your own health. You have to protect your children, because, believe me, so many of the scientific studies are simply prostituted. So many of the medications that are being pushed on the public today are great for the drug companies, but, of course, they create terrible problems for our populace. In fact, if you use NutraSweet, which is aspartame or MSG, it produces actual brain lesions that will create obesity that you can't overcome. In fact, people who use NutraSweet to lose weight usually put on weight. See, how could that be? Why, let me tell you, it produces convulsions. They know it. It produces brain tumors in animals. And there's no reason that I to believe this is not responsible for the dramatic increase in brain tumors in human beings. These products should never be used in our food, and yet you'll find them in almost every food. Am I telling you the truth? Well, believe me, I've studied this. I would not put my reputation on the line unless we have the documentation. Give us a call. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Order Christopher Bryson's book, The Fluoride Deception. Order our four-tape set on fluoride. Order our four-tape set on mercury. Order our four-tape set on aspartame. And then, of course, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like a free copy of one of our newsletters, the latest one is on Osama bin Laden. Who was Osama bin Laden? Why, after the president repeatedly ordered the CIA to kill him or capture him, did the CIA refuse? There's so many things that you're not going to get through regular channels, but we'll be glad to send you a free copy of our newsletter. And then we ask you, of course, to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political and ideological battlefield. Please pray for America, pray for revival, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.